It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Raven Radio KCAW in Sitka. Today is Thursday, March 28th, 2024. I'm Brooke Schaefer with Raven News. Change is coming for Sitka's Visitor Marketing and Information Program, but not this year. In a recent work session with the Chamber of Commerce, assembly members indicated that it was time to revisit the strategy behind Visit Sitka. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The Sitka Chamber of Commerce assumed responsibility for visitor marketing following the dissolution of the Sitka Convention and Visitors Bureau in 2015. And by just about every metric, Visit Sitka has done a remarkable job. Rachel Roy is the director of the Sitka Chamber and oversees Visit Sitka.
There used to be weeks in the summer during the Fine Arts Camp or the music festival that would be sold out, and that's not the case anymore. There are several months within there that there's very little space left for this summer. We heard from our multi-day charter operators and lodges 3 or 4 years ago that they were filled up and sold out, and really encouraged travelers to book ahead, book for next year, book your 25 dates now because they're filling up. And so that demand has really been there.
The city of Sitka pays the chamber $300,000 to manage Visit Sitka, which produces a variety of printed guides, maintains a website and visitor center with a full-time staff of 4 and 10 summer employees. That's a lot for $300,000, which is why for the last several years, the chamber has asked for and received a $275,000 supplemental appropriation. Assembly members didn't necessarily balk at paying for the services, but they did wonder if the mission of Visit Sitka had creeped from the mission of the old Sitka Convention and Visitors Bureau, which was intended to support independent travelers. Mayor Steven Eisenbeiss wondered if the budget was creeping too.
And I think we've drifted away from the annual contract amount being the baseline, and now we've hit this new baseline of $500,000 without any supplemental asks. And that was never really how I saw this to happen. I saw the supplemental budget as the projects above that baseline that we had wanted done.
The Sitka Chamber of Commerce is an independent nonprofit organization with other pursuits besides Visit Sitka. With the recent rapid growth in cruise tourism, assembly members have begun to ask whether Sitka's visitor marketing should be restructured and put out to bid. Mayor Eisenbeiss thought the regular supplemental budget requests were pointing in that direction.
I think that just reinforces the assembly's desire to go out to a new RFP, because clearly that amount isn't matching what it costs to do what we've asked for.
An RFP is a request for proposals. Assemblymember Tor Christensen supported issuing an RFP and refocusing Visit Sitka's marketing efforts on independent travelers who pay the bed tax, which constitutes a large portion of the Visit Sitka budget.
To me, that's the natural way to do it, is focus on the people that are paying your bills. If Visit Sitka is going to be dealing with cruise ship people, then we need to move a revenue stream from that group to it.
Chamber Director Rachel Roy reminded the assembly there was significant overlap between independent travelers and cruise passengers.
30% of independent travelers first came on a cruise ship. That's your introduction to Alaska. And so I think that's always been kind of understood.
Assemblymember Tim Pike agreed, once a person is on the ground in Sitka, they're a visitor, regardless of how they got here. He favored a resolution that didn't put people into opposing camps.
The cruise ship people are going to show up and ask questions regardless. We're not going to turn them away and say, sorry, we only work for the airplane travelers. So, I think we're needing to figure out how to manage this particular problem, and where those funds come from is up to us to figure out if we're uncomfortable with the bed tax paying for it.
With the first cruise ship due to arrive in mid-April and the presses rolling on all the maps and guides that will be distributed this season, the assembly will likely approve the chamber's supplemental budget request when it officially arrives on a meeting agenda, and possibly then direct staff to develop a new plan for next year. At the end of the day, said Mayor Eisenbeiss, the amount presented from Visit Sitka is the cost of doing business status quo. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Petersburg's Viking basketball players are the reigning champions of this season's 2A regional and state tournaments. It's the first time they've held that title in 7 years. As KFSK's Shelby Herbert reports, the Vikings head coach says it was a triumphant last run for his senior players.
Petersburg's varsity Vikings emerged from March Madness with a state and regional title. But their head coach, Rick Brock, says they didn't just skate by their opponents. It was a hard-fought month, with more than a few close calls. And he says there was no glamorous recipe for their success.
It's a process. There's no secret sauce. It's a lot of hard work, a lot of time and commitment.
Petersburg's varsity Vikings entered the 2A regional tournament in Sitka in second seed. They won their first game against their rivals, the Wrangell Wolves, 54-43. Then the Vikings took on Metlakatla, defeating the Chiefs 49-42. Brock says his team's balanced scoring put them ahead in the tight regional games.
But what was nice for us is that in both games, we had multiple people scoring and really took that team effort for us to be successful.
Petersburg's boys entered the state tournament in Anchorage in third seed. They were matched up with the Nanilchik Wolverines for their first game, which Brock says had his team feeling a bit nervous. He says the Vikings came to the court with the memory of a few highly competitive games they played against the formidable Wolverines during last year's semifinals.
They were the two-time state champion. I knew that going in. That sometimes you have a team or two that seems to be playing, you know, a level above everybody else. But this year going in, I felt that the team that showed up and played well for three games had a chance to be successful.
Petersburg and Nanilchik were nearly tied by the end of the fourth quarter. Nanilchik took control of the ball after a timeout and tried to pull off a full-court shot, but they didn't quite make it. Then, Petersburg senior Elijah Whitaker broke through and made a basket in the last 12 seconds of the game. The Vikings pulled through by 2 points, winning 44-42. Their next two games were similarly tight. They defeated the Cordova Wolverines 38-34. And then the Hooper Bay Warriors, 41-33. Brock says he's proud of his team for never losing their composure in the face of such tough opponents. He also praised them for the individual awards they collected over the course of the month.
Gave Alex Holmgren and Nathan Kerr the Good Sport Award. Two guys that are always there every day working hard. But when you travel with them, they're the first guys to jump up and help you clean up a classroom or do something that needs to get done. They don't mind pitching in and helping. They have a great attitude about everything they do every day. And then Rick Kumps and Hunter Kahn both got the All-Conference Award. And then three of our seniors, Elijah Whitaker, Rick Kumps, and Kieran Cabral, got the All-Academic Award for their GPA over their high school career.
The team came home to a jubilant community parade, with locals driving cars, buses, and even fire trucks up and down the main drag to celebrate the Vikings' victory. Talk of their success even reached Petersburg's assembly chambers. Mayor Mark Jensen commended the team at the borough's March 18th assembly meeting.
But I would like to give a shout out to our Petersburg Vikings. The boys team took state, Region 2A state champion. So congratulations and thank you for representing your community so well.
Looking ahead, Coach Brock says the Vikings will feel the sting after many of their star players graduate this spring. But he says he expects the seniors will leave behind a blueprint of success for his younger players, and that entails giving their all at practice until their games restart in the fall. In Petersburg, I'm Shelby Herbert.
Commercial seining for herring continued on Wednesday with an opener that began at 11 a.m. Open areas included waters around Deep Inlet, Alakina Bay, and Samsing Cove to the south, and the waters of Hayward Strait and Krestoff Sound to the north. Another 1,500 tons of herring were landed in the commercial fishery on Monday, bringing the total harvest so far to just over 5,600 tons. Active herring spawn is visible along the Sitka Road system between Halibut Point and Harbor Point, as well as in the waters between Apple and Middle Islands. State biologists now count just over 10 nautical miles of shoreline with visible spawn. Very large schools of herring continue to spawn in shallow water along the Kruzoff Island shoreline, from Point Brown to Shoals Point. The next aerial survey in the Sitka Sound sacro herring fishery is expected today. Without an increase in state education funding, the Ketchikan School Board is projecting a deficit next year of roughly $4 million, or about 10% of their total budget. This is similar to the deficit facing the Sitka School Board. Ketchikan School Board President Stephen Bradford says in addition to stagnant state funding, the district is expecting declining enrollment, compounding the funding problem. If nothing changes, he says they'll need to make substantial cuts.
I don't think we're at the point yet where we're considering closing one of the buildings, but certainly there will have to be some reductions in staff. There will be some cutting of some programs, and we will see our student-to-teacher ratios have to go up perhaps significantly in our classrooms.
Last week, the Alaska legislature failed to override a veto from Governor Mike Dunleavy of an education bill that originally passed with overwhelming bipartisan support. Had the bill not been vetoed, President Bradford says the funding boost would have been just enough to cover their projected budget for next year. Bradford says moving forward, the board will continue lobbying the legislature and governor to get some sort of increase passed this year. But in the meantime, he says they have to start planning for the worst-case scenario. I'm Brooke Schaefer, and this has been Raven News.